I'm Travis Hirsch. 3D cross-examination. I'm going to show you how to ask questions in cross-ex in a way that will actually help you win the round. Cross-ex is hard. And the traditional approach to cross-ex, you're going to have questions like, isn't it true that worms are larger than bears? Or maybe even setting up an argument directly against a contention. There are some serious flaws with traditional cross-ex. And I've been using traditional debate a lot in the past to refer to the most widely accepted approaches. There is no true traditional cross-ex. Nobody knows how to do it because very few people know any theory. There's no technique for asking questions. They just sort of like, well, I'll ask you about this. And depending on what your personality or how you feel that day, you'll be more or less confrontational. That's all there is to it. So there's some serious flaws to the way people do cross-ex when they don't have the theory in place. The first, the most important, is that the witness has many options. You ask a question like, isn't it true that worms are bigger than bears? And the witness can answer all kinds of things. The first thing he can say is, yes, but bears are cuter. And you're kind of left going, fine, but I did get my admission, but it doesn't sound like an admission. And he already gave the response to the argument I was going to make. So that's not what I want. Maybe he starts wishy-washing about. He says, well, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, sometimes they make super-sized gummy bears, and they make these tiny little worms. So I wouldn't really feel comfortable saying for sure. And, you know, I don't really know where you're going with this, and I don't really understand the question. And I wasn't prepared to discuss this when I came into the room. And all of those questions, if you're going for traditional cross-ex, you're just trying to get the admission, this witness has just galloped completely out of control, and you have the option of either letting him run all over you or getting mean with him. Answer the question. You're repeating it again. And back before I understood 3D cross-ex, when I was competing, we would study ways to boss the witness around in a way that didn't make you look mean. But at the end of the day, you're still bossing the witness around, and it's really hard not to look mean. And it's really easy for the witness to look, oh, you don't want me to finish? You know, there's techniques that you can use as a witness that'll just take over the debate. For instance, you ask a question, isn't it true that worms are bigger than bears? Well, the answer is going to take about 30 seconds. Do you have time for that? What are you going to say? No, I don't have time. All right, well, you're not going to hear the answer to your question. Or, fine, take up 30 seconds of my 3-minute cross-ex. All right, well, here I go. I'm just going to start talking. And if you cut me off, you're going to look ridiculous. I look like the nice one because I asked you if you had time for a 30-second response. Those are the kind of things witnesses can do, and they look completely reasonable when they're doing them. Another flaw with traditional cross-ex is the examiner has one goal outcome, which is to get an admission. Hopefully, you'll at least have thought it through to the point that you know what you want your opponent to say. You'll go in, you say, I want my opponent to give me something that I can use against him. And that's reasonable, because an admission in cross-ex is the most credible evidence you can possibly use. In terms of the pursuit of truth, that doesn't really matter a whole lot. But the only options available to a judge, the only ones he's allowed to vote for, are the ones in the round. So the moment you both agree on something, it's the word of God. He has to accept it. There it is. That's the only available position. So you would love to get admissions, and if you do, that really helps you. But if you're only going for one outcome, which is to get an admission, your witness can try to move toward any other position. He can say, I'm not going to give an admission, and that's all there is to it. And he just sort of gives you wishy-washy, anomalous, weird answers to everything. Just vague, nebulous, what? I don't even... Just dodging all over the place. And that's how many witnesses, that's how people are trained to respond in cross-ex. They're just, I'm not going to answer this. I'm not going to give any admissions. And if your goal is to get an admission, he's going to lock you down. And you're going to look ridiculous a lot faster than he is. Therefore, the examiner usually loses. Cross-exes can get really heated. I've seen out rounds where the debaters raise their voices at each other, shouting over each other, getting really intense, but still polite. And then when the cross-ex ends, thank you very much, and they sit down. And the audience is like, oh, that must have been a really good cross-ex. I don't know why, though, but they got really loud. It was really intense. But nobody got anything out of it. It was just 3 minutes of wasted time. and wasted time usually helps the witness. In many cases, unruly witnesses can even take advantage of cross-ex to continue pushing their case. You know, debaters will ask open-ended questions like, I've seen people say, can you explain your second contention again? Oh, I would be more than happy to. Thank you for the bonus speech time. So, let's walk away from traditional cross-ex and move to 3D cross-ex. Here's how you change. You gotta rework your mindset. Instead of traditional cross-ex where your only goal is to get an admission, you're going in with three possible goals. You're presenting the witness with three jars of poison. And you say, hey, whichever one you want to drink, that's fine. I don't particularly care because all three of them really help me. One of them is, of course, to get an admission. And that's powerful stuff. But if you don't want to give me an admission, I'll pull something just as good out. The other possible approach is to have your opponent take an absurd position. If your opponent is working so hard, maybe he sees where you're going with a line of cross-ex. So he deliberately says something kind of iffy that shuts you down. It's clearly he's not going to give you the admission you want. So you say, all right, let's talk about that position. And you keep following that to its logical conclusion, which is something shocking. And you say, fine, now you've given me an absurd position. You look ridiculous and your credibility has been fried. Maybe you won't bring it up ever again, but the judge should be sitting here there at the end going, what did you just say? Really? You oppose babies? The final result is an absurd non-position. And this is the result you're going to get from people who have trained themselves not to give admissions under any circumstances. An absurd non-position is when your opponent clearly is refusing to answer any of your questions. And so you say, all right, you're not going to answer my questions? I'm just going to point that out to the judge. And you're going to use techniques that just show how even the simplest of answers, your opponent is unwilling to give a response. The judge should just be shaking his head like, wow, this is just, I mean, you're perfectly reasonable, but this witness just will not answer anything. Oh, well. And once again, his credibility has been fried. So here's where things get fun. We're going to make a flow chart of 3D cross-ex. Let's suppose your opponent runs a value of health. And you want to take that value down. By the way, common wisdom on cross-ex says never ask a question you don't know the answer to. That's generally good, but I would tweak that a little bit. I would say never ask a question that has any bad answers. For instance, you're going to ask the question, is health always good? There are two possible answers, yes or no. Both of those are going to wind up helping you. So you don't really care which one it is. It's not really possible. You know, it sounds so profound when you hear it. Never ask a question you don't know the answer to. But you don't know what your opponent is going to say. And with a question like this, what you're asking for is his position on it. Maybe he's going to say yes or no. The key is, whatever he gives you will help you. So he could say yes, and we'll talk about that in a second. He could say no, but of course there is that third dimension. That's a dimension we're not going to be charting out because it could come out of any of these boxes we look at. It's going to be coming straight out from the table, and that's what happens when your opponent refuses to give you an answer. He just ran the value of life, the value of health, and you say, is health always good? Well, I don't know. No, I'm not giving you an admission. Easy out. You say, you don't know if health is always good? No, I don't. What was your value? Health. And you don't know if it's good or not? Really? There you have it. That's an absurd non-position. So whatever the question is, if he refuses to answer it, you just make it look ridiculous that he doesn't have an answer to something that's so critical to his case. So let me get this straight. The affirmative position doesn't have a position. You have no advocacy whatsoever on whether or not your value is always good. You don't have any position on that. No thoughts. But let's suppose he says, no, it's not always good. Which is a reasonable response. Maybe he's, you know, thinking of possible exceptions like, I don't know, assassination of an evil person, or he supports the death penalty or something. Maybe he's just trying to avoid committing to anything. Because if he says, yes, health is always good, that's a commitment that you can test. But if he says, well, you know, maybe there's some times when it wouldn't be as good, that feels nice and comfortable and wishy-washy. So you ask the next question. All right, so some things are more important than health? It's the same question asked again. in terms of the use that you have in CrossX, you're going to get a lot of mileage out of exactly how you're wording the question. I like to think of a witness in CrossX as a woolly mammoth. Any guesses, by the way, on how mammoths were actually hunted? Yeah.
They drove them to the edge of cliffs, got the mammoth to fall off.
Exactly. Man versus mammoth, the mammoth is going to win. So what you do is you make the mammoth's strength work against him. The hunters would arrange themselves so the mammoths are between them and a cliff, or they'd create some sort of sharp trap or something. And then they'd wave torches and bang drums and scare the mammoths into charging at full speed toward their own destruction. That's what you do in CrossX. What's the one thing your witness is afraid of the most in CrossX? Was it what?
Admission.
Admission, yes. He's afraid of giving an admission. So you need to ask questions that make it sound like you're setting him up for an admission. This question, is health always good? If he says yes, he's locking himself down. There's no more wiggle room. It's always good. But if he says no, or maybe sometimes, sometimes there are other things that are more important, which is the equivalent of no, that feels comfortable to him. Because it's like, yeah, maybe I still have some room to move around and wiggle. That's why you ask this question first, instead of, are some things more important than health? Because if you hear this, if you ask this first, then he can wiggle in both directions. He can say, well, health is critical. I mean, I can't really think of anything that's more important than health. You gotta set him up right off the bat. Is health always good or not? Then, once you've asked that, he says no, you're just going to ask this clarifying question, which is basically the same question, just to make sure we're on the same page, and that's when we're locking him in. The trap is beginning to close. So then some things are more important than health? Well, of course, he has to say yes. He just said, you're just reiterating the question he just gave you. So he says, yes, there are some things that are more important than health. To which you ask, well, what are they? I love this question so much, because your opponent just said, I believe some things are more important than my value. And now, to avoid looking ridiculous, he has to start listing them. I mean, imagine you say, well, what are they? Well, I can't think of any. So you think health, there's some things more important than health, but you can't think of any? It's ridiculous. It's absurd. He's got to say something. This is such an easy trap to walk someone into. But again, the wording is really important. If you deviate from this approach, you're scaring the mammoth in, you're sealing the gap, and then you finish. If you give him an out at any point, he will take it and run. This is marked with a green square because it's what I call a happy confirm. This is where you get the answer you want. This is an admission. And this means that your witness, your mammoth, has done what you want him to do. He gave you the answer you wanted. The admission is, some things are more important than health. And hopefully he even lists your value. Perfectly conceivable. So, when he's done that, good mammoth. Well done. Excellent mammoth. Have a little treat. Your tone is critical in CrossX. And, of course, you're always going to sort of have this confrontational feel like you're wrestling with him. But when you get to the happy confirm, you're done wrestling. Congratulations, little mammoth. You did the right thing. Good job. So when you ask this question, you want to ask it as calmly, as reasonably, as easily as possible. Hopefully, your opponent doesn't even realize that that's the last question. Just, oh, okay, so what are they? This is the next question in the list. You know, let's keep talking about it. What are they? And then he proceeds, whatever he answers from there is doing devastating damage to his position. On the other hand, though, what if you say, is health always good? And he says, well, it's my value, so I better say yes. You're going to say, so there's nothing more important than health? Note, once again, that this is the exact same question. Approaching the mammoth, you started banging the drums and the herd isn't moving yet. So you're going to break out the torches and the shouting to get him going. There's nothing more important than health? You're asking this question, if he says there is nothing more important than health, that really sounds like an admission to him. Once again, the tone is critical, and you're not communicating to the judge, you're communicating to the witness. You're communicating, if you keep saying this, that nothing's more important than health, I'm going to burn you. So please, go right on ahead. But of course, if you don't, if he backs down, And he's tempted. The admission is going to be nothing is more important, and that's scary. So he's, of course, going to be tempted to say, well, you know, maybe there's something that's more important, I guess. Maybe some things. Well, then we'll just feed him right back in. Oh, okay, we're back on track. Good stuff. So there are some things that are more important than health. Well, yeah, probably. So what are they? But maybe this guy is really unruly, and he's really committed to his value. There is nothing that's more important than health. He's standing by it. Well, now we're going to change the gears a little bit, because it's obvious he either figured out what the happy confirm was going to be, figured out where you were going with it, or he's just determined to be unreasonable. So you're saying, all right, fair enough. We're going to take that poison off the table. Let's give you another one. Next question. Do you support American soldiers? By the way, this should sound like a whole new line of questioning. So he's like, all right, I got through the whole his health more most important thing. Moving on to something else. Do I support American soldiers? Now, this is, sounds like a somewhat unrelated question. It's very possible that you're going to have to jump into the third dimension here, where your opponent says, I don't really know what this has to do with anything. But it's such a basic question, it's going to be really easy to make it sound ridiculous. You don't know whether or not you support American soldiers? Really? If he says no, we get what I call the silly confirm. Seriously? You don't support American soldiers? This is another happy ending to your cross-ex. The happy confirm, you're going to be very reasonable. Good mammoth, you did the right thing. Well done. Let me ask you very gently to just repeat to the judge how badly you have destroyed your own case. But if you do the silly confirm, it needs to be clear to the judge that you got an admission. And this is where you have to be a little ruthless. Got to get the claws out. Because a judge can easily witness a silly confirm, and if you didn't deliver it right, he won't know it, and you've wasted your time. You can't just say, do you support American soldiers? No, I don't. Okay, so moving on. You have to underline it. And you can't just say, do you support American soldiers? No. Really, you don't support American soldiers? I don't support American soldiers. No, that's not something I support. All right, moving on. It's not enough. The judge has to be shocked, just incredulous. Like, what is wrong with you? So, once again, you're going to repeat the question, but this time you're going to turn it into that scary negative. So, do you support American soldiers? No. You're going to say something like, let me get this straight. Let me make sure I'm hearing you right here. You're saying that you do not support American soldiers? Or, let me rephrase that. You're saying that you oppose American soldiers. And if he says yes, you're just going to be kind of have this shock, like, wow, kind of looking at the judge like, this guy, I don't even know. No wonder he said all that stuff. He doesn't even support American soldiers. Yes?
Do you, when you give these admissions, do you want to bring them back up in your speeches in the future?
With silly confirms, probably not.
Okay.
It's not like, I can't really think of an argument against health that pertains to him opposing American soldiers. The victory for you is the fact that he looks ridiculous in front of the judge, and you fried his credibility. So that's why this is so important, because the only benefit you're going to get is in those few seconds. So again, you're going to repeat the question in the scariest way you know. Usually you just invert some of the verbiage. So in this case, really, so you oppose American soldiers? When you ask it, you should have this sort of shocked, incredulous look on your face. What? Really? And the judge hopefully will be mirroring you at this point. I can't believe you just said that. He gives you your answer, and the moment you finish your confirm, you're going to be completely silent for 3 or 4 seconds. That's an important step. You have to let that answer just hang in the air, because words make people feel relaxed, whatever they are. Silence is really intense and uncomfortable. As a side note for you interpreters, this is one of the reasons most interpreters fill narration into blocking, because they don't have the courage to just let the silence hang. And you just kind of become really aware, and you reflect on what just happened. Discomfort, awkward situations are okay. You just have to use them deliberately. And when your opponent just said he opposed American soldiers, yeah, things just got awkward. It's not your fault that you paused for a second. You just want this to hang in the air. Let's let everyone just reflect on what just happened. So, yes, I oppose American soldiers. Okay, so how about gummy bears? Let's move on to the next thing. But let's just listen to this awful answer. Just let it hang. So let it be awkward there. By the same token, by the way, you also want to have a 3 or 4 second silence with a happy confirm. Whenever you're switching lines of cross X, you've got a happy confirm or a silly confirm. Just let there be a pause to let everyone reflect. In this case, with a happy confirm, what are they? Well, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are all more important than property. Do gummy bears have toes? You gotta let it hang so that the judge remembers what just happened. And as long as you're confident and in control, he's the one who's making it awkward, not you. So you ask, what happens if he says, well, yeah, of course I support American soldiers. Here's where we come back to that mammoth analogy once again. I'm trying to set something up here. But if my opponent knows what it is, he's gonna find a way to weasel out. Imagine that you see your target, the mammoth is, maybe it's modern times and you've got a hunting rifle. The mammoth is sitting in the middle of a valley, and you have two ways to get to the mammoth, to get into shooting range. You can just stroll right on down the valley toward him, with the wind at your back, across a dry gravel bed. What's gonna happen? He's gonna run away. He'll hear you, he'll smell you, he'll look up and see you across this completely fat bed, he'll go like, no thanks, I'm good, and leave. And there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what you see with these forceful cross-exes, where people just say, here's an argument I want to make, so I'm just going to present it in question form to my opponent. The only thing you're going to get from that, from this really brutal, direct approach to cross-ex, is your opponent will give you the answer that he would have given you in the next speech. And so he'll say, well, so if you say, isn't it true that some things are better than health? And his response is, sure, but health is really, really important, and it's specific to this resolution. He's already given you his responses, and later when you say some things are more important than health, the judge is like, well, yeah, I know, but this is specific to the resolution, and it's still really important. All you're doing is moving the debate forward past your own speech. The mammoth is just running away. So instead, you're going to circle around to the other side of the valley, even though it takes a little bit of time, and you're going to approach from downwind, you know, through soft grass with shrub cover, so he can't see or hear or smell you until you're close enough that you can do whatever damage you want to do. That's what this question is. Okay, brand new question, not related to health. But the next question I'm going to ask, all right, but U.S. troops, they die for nothing, right? Once again, wording is critical. I could say, do you support American soldiers? Well, sure I do. But isn't it true that U.S. soldiers value something over health? That's too heavy-handed. I love this question where you ask something totally ridiculous and finish with a, right? Like, surely, that's your position, right? Like, you can open a line of cross-ex with, so you support terrorism, right? Well, no, I don't. Really? Well, what about that thing you said? Make some sense out of that. But in this case, so U.S. troops die for nothing, right? Of course, he's gonna say, no, they don't die for nothing. What if he says yes? Once again, you've got your silly confirm. What? You support American soldiers, but you believe they're dying for nothing? What kind of support is that? And you're gonna once again deliver the silly confirm with the brief pause in shock, and you've done your damage. You move on. Safe to assume he's gonna say no. So your next question is, so, some things are worth dying for? These are all little baby steps, logically. Just the slightest little incremental upgrade. U.S. troops don't die for nothing. So that means they die for something. Therefore, some things are worth dying for. That's completely logical. We've moved forward almost not at all with this question. It's a lot like this question. We're just holding hands. We're finalizing the trap. Just making it clear to everyone, the mammoth has charged off the cliff. There's only two possible answers to this question, once again, yes or no. If he says no, then we're right back where we started, or where we just were. Some things are worth dying for? No. Oh, well then U.S. troops die for nothing. That's the logical conclusion. Let's go right back to this question. If he says yes, what are we gonna do? What are they? Ta-da! Good mammoth. We're struggling a little bit there, but we're back on track. Please name some things that are worth dying for, i.e. things that are more important than health. Now, even when you ask a silly confirm, or at any point in this chart, it's possible that your opponent is going to back up or change his opinion. Maybe you ask him, what are they? And he realizes what you just did to him. Oops. So he says, let me backpedal here. I'm changing my position. And he goes back. Oh, no, actually, I misspoke. Nothing's more important than health. If you're a traditional cross-examiner, you're going, oh man, this was all for nothing. But using 3D Cross-X, you're saying, all right, you just pushed yourself back into the maelstrom. It's not like you're going to get out without landing on either a happy confirm or a silly confirm. But since you pushed yourself out, you just fried a lot of your credibility. So you're back to this question? Fine. Do you want to answer yes this time or no? Because we can do this. I can do this all day. You're going to land on one of these confirms eventually. Or we can go into the third dimension. You're going to look ridiculous. Even more than you just did because you backed off. You didn't help yourself at all. A key part of this is that there is no escape. Remember, the witnesses are very unruly. And they have so many options at their disposal. You know, if you're cross-examining adorable 13-year-old Lila Rose, and you ask her, is health always good? She's got all these ways to avoid answering the question, or to dodge around. But whatever she says, all right, let's go there. I'm not going to fight you. We'll just ask the next question. You're letting this woolly mammoth lead the way right over the cliff. If he's not giving you an answer, you ask a yes or no question, is health always good? He says, well, I don't know. Stalls for time. It comes up with all these answers. You say, so you don't have any position on whether your value is always good? Maybe you say, do you support American soldiers? I don't know. You don't know whether or not you support American soldiers? Come on. You know, not going to say that last part, but you're going to imply it. And the judge should be saying, come on, seriously? A question that simple? You can't just move on from it. Let him stall, because it's hurting him. The key is not to try to bully him into getting back onto this track. Just let him hang out and burn his own bridges with the judge. You want to avoid, at all costs, providing silly confirms. They're devastating. The reason people are able to get away with them is because the examiners don't know how to take advantage of them. So people can just dance and dodge like pretty princesses all day long. But if you're against somebody who knows how to do this, you can't dodge anymore. And you don't want to take the risk. So give answers as directly as possible. If somebody asks you a question that is just way off topic, you have no idea what it's about, instead of saying, I don't know what it's about, you just say, I don't know. But you say it as confidently as possible. Somebody says, so what is the annual GDP of Somalia? I don't know. As long as you say it confidently, kind of this confused, like, I don't know why you're asking me that, but I don't know. All right, whatever. Or maybe he asks you some question that you have no idea what it's about. Do you support American soldiers? Of course. I don't know why we're talking about this, but yeah, I support American soldiers. But U.S. soldiers die for nothing? Of course not. You know, you're not even going to go near the silly confirm. Some things are worth dying for? Sure. I mean, I think that's a personal decision, but yeah. Notice another thing I'm doing here. Every question your opponent asks you is totally unreasonable or childish, or both. It's like, really? You're asking me these questions? This is so obvious. Everyone knows. We all support American soldiers. We don't think they die for anything. Come on. So some things are worth dying for, though. Here, I'm just casually throwing out qualifications. Sure, I guess it's a personal decision, though. I'm still qualifying my answer a little bit and grabbing a little bit of wiggle room, not to keep from getting to the happy confirm, but every step of the way, I'm just slowing down the momentum of the examiner. If you keep piling on these tiny little qualifications, wherever you can find them, you're not avoiding answering the question, but you're just constantly qualifying it here and there. By the time you get to the happy confirm, there have been so many qualifications, the weight of it is going to crush that admission out of existence. But let's suppose we just start here. Is health always good? Yeah, I'd say so. Well, so there's nothing more important than health? Well, I didn't say that. I think there are some things that are more important. Okay, so some things are more important than health. Right, that's what I just said. You're being childish and unreasonable. Okay, so what are they? And once again, every question he asks is just kind of a surprise, like, really, you're asking me that? This is your line of questioning. You're asking me to list things that you're asking me about? So this is the first time I've thought about it. I don't know. So in your answer, what are they? Make it clear to the judge, I don't really have to know this, but I'm going to humor you. You don't refuse to answer questions you don't have to know. Just make it clear to the judge that you're just trying to be nice. I don't have to know whether or not I support American soldiers. That's not a part of my advocacy. But if you're going to ask, I'll answer. So you say, well, what are they? The will of God. The persistence of the universe. What are you looking for here? Like, help me out. Let's get on the same team. In a lecture on Cross-X, no more questions. Okay, let's take another 10-minute break.